And now to Port Milwaukee, a global trade hub. The supply chain gridlock that we've seen in the pandemic has strained ports coast to coast. The bipartisan infrastructure law invests $17 billion in port infrastructure and waterways. So what might that mean for Milwaukee? Have you worked in cargo transit or on a ship? Where do you see bottlenecks or the need to replace aging infrastructure? What are you curious about and how ports operate? 800-642-1234. Adam Tindall-Schlicht is director of Port Milwaukee and president of the Wisconsin Commercial Ports Association. Adam, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here this morning.
Well, good morning. Let's start with the federal funding, $5.5 billion over the next several years for various, you know, projects. How do you hope Port Milwaukee might benefit from that those federal funds?
I mean, we welcomed news of the passage of the infrastructure bill. Our economy in the state of Wisconsin and across the Great Lakes region really relies on high employment, domestic commerce, and international trade. And our ports really are the hubs of that activity here in Wisconsin, and certainly at Port Milwaukee. The infrastructure bill is going to bring in new federal funding, much of it at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which will help coastal communities on the Mississippi River, Lake Superior, and Lake Michigan address some of that federal backlog. When we look to breakwaters that were built decades ago that maybe have been aging or antiquated, needed dredging. So a lot of federal investment, a lot of federal projects will be able to be tackled with the infrastructure bill. And we're also seeing a tremendous infusion of funds into grant programs, federal grant programs, like the Port Infrastructure Development Program, one that Port Milwaukee is already a recipient of, and really providing access to ports throughout Wisconsin to address some of that critical infrastructure backlog that we've been talking about for decades.
I wonder, because there are various ports in Wisconsin, are all the needs unique, or do some ports struggle with some things with infrastructure, others with other things? What is that like?
We are really blessed to be on both the Great Lakes and Mississippi River system. So it can change and be dependent port to port. Mm-hmm. One thing that is, I would argue, pretty common across larger ports like Superior and Milwaukee, even into smaller coastal harbors like Bayfield, for example, is that need for reinvestment in infrastructure. A lot of the dock walls, a lot of that maritime infrastructure that we use for commercial handling of freight, recreational fishing, or even pleasure boating really was built decades ago, if not 100 years ago, and is showing those signs of wear and tear. The infrastructure bill is going to help us address a lot of that need.
Okay, so let's talk about the supply chain crisis. You know, the image I have in my head is the 60 Minutes special in November, the overhead shot of the Port of Los Angeles, totally choked, pure, you know, throw up your hands gridlock with a massive container ships and semi-trailers. So what has the supply chain debacle been like for you at Port Milwaukee?
We are shaping it, and in the conversations that we're having with our domestic and international customers, we're trying to change the paradigm, change the conversation. Instead of focusing on the challenges that you're seeing at the largest East and West Coast ports, as you say, at LA and Long Beach, Baltimore, New York, New Jersey, bringing those customers back into the heartland of North America through direct shipments to Great Lakes ports, we actually have capacity. So the conversations that we're having is, if you're bringing your freight anyways to Wisconsin or Northern Illinois, why not bring your freight to a port like Milwaukee, like Superior, like Green Bay, where we have capacity and we can help be that relief valve during this time of challenge in the global supply chain?
How is that message being received? Are you getting it across?
We have high optimism heading into 2022. I mean, a lot of the challenges that we saw last year will continue into this year. Certainly inflation is a concern. Other issues are, you know, available workforce, that last mile, bringing freight from the port to the end customer, the beneficial user, making sure that there's a ready available source of sailors on the Great Lakes and abroad and truck drivers in our state. These are all issues that we will continue to confront in the new year and going forward. Certainly looking for continued relief in the tariff environment. President Biden and his administration has done over the last year a lot of work to try to release or address some of the tariffs that the previous administration brought into the international trade environment. And that has had an impact both on Milwaukee's trade and I would argue on Wisconsin's economy. And we're looking for more progress in that space as well.
Well, a slight sidebar, if you will, to trade is customs. Our economy depends on these big international shipping lines for our stuff, for our goods. And so you need to pass through U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the paperwork, the security, the inspections, all of it. Does that process and infrastructure need changes and improvement to handle more freight?
I think so. And the conversations that we're having with U.S. Customs is about local resources. Over the last 4 or 5 years, the federal priority for U.S. Customs was certainly its enforcement at the southern border. Mm-hmm. Even port offices in Milwaukee, at O'Hare and other places across the Great Lakes were asked to send their customs officers down to the southern border, which created sort of a customs backlog when you look at the needed service that we have in our state at airports, at maritime ports, and other places where customs handling and customs interventions are required. We recently welcomed a new customs director in Milwaukee, and that partnership has already proven fruitful in the last several months that she's been on the job. And again, it's a critical partnership, one that will continue to evolve, especially as we're having conversations about making major new investments in our ports. We won't be able to make those investments and bring that new trade unless we have U.S. Customs as a proactive partner at the table.
And you had said in the fall that Cleveland was the only Great Lakes port that U.S. Customs had allowed to receive overseas shipping containers. Has anything changed there?
Certainly. In recent months, we've seen a new container service come online at the Port of Duluth Superior. Mm-hmm. I have to say, as president of Wisconsin's commercial ports, and in my role as director of Port Milwaukee, I often look at our sister ports and my colleagues and the innovation that is taking place in that part of our state, in Duluth and Superior, really is an inspiration to me and will continue to inform our work statewide. So hoping that that new service in Duluth becomes that relief valve that we're talking about, hopefully bringing new freight more reliably and efficiently to the northern part of Wisconsin through Duluth.
We're discussing port activity at a global hub, Port Milwaukee, with Adam Tindall-Schlicht. Have you been on a cruise? What were your ports of call? Is your business waiting for a huge shipment of something that is stuck at a port? Do you know what's going on with the delay? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The U.S. Department of Transportation calls American ports a cornerstone of the U.S. economy, but they've been hampered by outdated infrastructure, supply chain crisis, as we talked about in the pandemic. Port Milwaukee moved 2.8 million tons of goods in 2020. They're working on the numbers for 2021, I am told. Still time to talk about port traffic, how shipping works, Lake Michigan's rising water levels, 800-642-1234. Adam Tindall-Schlicht is director of Port Milwaukee with us for about 9 more minutes. Adam, let's talk cruise ships. Cruises haven't operated for the last couple years due to the pandemic. Is that going to change anytime soon?
We are very optimistic that we're going to have a return of our cruise activity in 2022. Right now, we are anticipating over 30 cruise visits to our port and over 10,000 visitors on cruise ships coming to Milwaukee via the Great Lakes. Couldn't be happier that this service is potentially returning. Again, we are keeping a deliberate eye to the pandemic and the latest trends in COVID-19. We, of course, will follow all public health guidance. But what we're seeing is a desire to return to cruise activity across North America. And I think that our passengers are going to really be excited about opportunities to be on the Great Lakes. I call it the familiar unfamiliar. by 7 to 10 days on the Great Lakes, really, these passengers will have access to new cities, new towns, new villages, but also have close comfort and close access to North American healthcare, which may provide a sense of calm after the pandemic.
So I'm feeling around in the dark here. Are we talking like Pearl Mist, Viking cruises, a mix of both, or some other cruise line?
Kate, look at you. Have you been on a cruise ship?
No. I mean, yes. I do my homework. I'm like the crack journalist here.
Okay. I mean, you brought up two of my favorite cruise lines that are coming to Milwaukee. The Pearl Mist, which is operated by Pearl Seas, recently signed a 20-year agreement to maintain its service at Port Milwaukee for the next two decades. And Viking Cruises, which just built its new ship, the Viking Octantis, which it was built to be the largest cruise ship that can come from abroad into the Great Lakes, is expected to home port in Milwaukee later this year. That Viking ship is also expected to call other places in the state like Bayfield and Algoma. So Milwaukee is becoming the backbone for international Great Lakes cruising, but it's spreading that economic impact and that freshwater tourism across the state with these ships based in Milwaukee.
I wonder, does size matter? Because Pearl Mist is a smaller ship, I think up to 210 passengers. I don't know what's in store with Viking, but what do you look for in the size of the cruise ship, or doesn't that matter? That's a long pause. Are you still there? I think we just went on mute, perhaps. Oh, I hope we didn't lose Adam Tindall-Schlicht. I'll reintroduce you. Adam is director of Port Milwaukee. As we talk about the port activity, being on cruises, you can join in. Are you curious about how shipping works on the Great Lakes? Have you worked in cargo or on a ship? Are you waiting for an order to arrive that's been delayed by supply chain bottlenecks? How are those delays affecting your life? And what about cruises? What do you think about cruises in and out of Milwaukee? Join in at 800-642-1234. Adam, we lost you there for just a moment, I think.
I think we were talking about the size of vessels.
Yes, size of vessels. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
So basically with these new cruise ships, they're being built to maximize the size of the St. Lawrence Seaway locks. So any vessel that comes to the Port of Milwaukee or any other port still needs to navigate safely through those 15 locks on the St. Lawrence River and by Niagara Falls. So really, these cruise ships are always going to be niche in size, really no more than 500 passengers. But we think that provides a really unique experience for them.
So what will the cruise ship business do for income generated from docking rights, from these annual rents for these ships to pull up and dock in Milwaukee?
In Milwaukee, the direct revenue that we will receive from all of this cruise activity really is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But okay, why we love this opportunity is about the bigger economic impact. These passengers are spending days in cities and towns across Wisconsin, like Milwaukee, and during those on-land excursions are really spending time in our cultural amenities, in cafes, in restaurants, in hotels, and that's why this is such a unique opportunity.
I know you don't have the 2021 tonnage numbers finalized, but 2020 was kind of surprising because tonnage was increasing, a 7-year high. What does that spell to you, as you know, in this pandemic era?
It's an interesting time. So what we saw last year across the Great Lakes were many ports struggled. Duluth, for example, had its lowest commercial tonnage since the Great Depression. Milwaukee was quite a national outlier in the fact that we had 5% growth last year and 11% growth the year prior. That said, trade is cyclical. We're seeing a tremendous bounce back in a lot of commercial performance for Great Lakes ports and Wisconsin's ports that struggled last year. Milwaukee, we're still looking at our tonnage. I imagine we will probably be down 5 to 10%. But that's really right within our wheelhouse in that 2 to 3 million metric tons per year, really keeping us as Wisconsin's second largest commercial port.
And in terms of what is being carried, the goods, is agriculture, is that still a leading commodity?
Our leading commodity is actually salt. So we are the largest salt distributor, not only in southeastern Wisconsin, but as the long winter goes on, across the state and across a multi-state region. But agriculture is something that is near and dear to my heart. Right now at the port, we are building our new $35 million agricultural export terminal in partnership with the Clinton, Wisconsin-based company DeLong. This will be one of the first agricultural bulk export terminals on the Great Lakes, which will provide direct access to international shipping for Wisconsin farmers. And I just have to give credit to the incredible team of partners that have helped bring in the public-private financing for this terminal. We have had support at every level of government, from then Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett to current Milwaukee Mayor Chevy Johnson, up to Tony Evers and his administration, and certainly the U.S. Department of Transportation. None of this would have been possible, this major investment at the port, without that PIDP funding that we previously talked about.
Adam.
Really an awesome opportunity.
Adam, good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Sorry again for the disruption. Have a great weekend.
You too, Adam Tindall-Schlick, Director of Port Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.